Hello, hello. We're getting ready to record here.
Why do you have a country accent all of a sudden?
Shut up. Don't call that out on camera. Damn it, start over. All right, here we go. Hello, welcome everybody. This is the Let's Talk About It podcast, the podcast that aims to break down the wall between the consumer and the passionate people who aim to please them. Every week, I'm interviewing another chef from my hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And at the end of each episode, we will make a one-of-a-kind taco that represents my guests and their passion. I'm Dominic Valenzuela of Dia de los Tacos, and today I'm interviewing Mike, Chef Mike White of High Point Grill. Hi, Mike.
How are you? Hi, Dom. I'm fantastic. How are you?
Super, dude. I'm really excited to be here with you, man.
Thanks. Thanks for coming to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're in foreign territory.
That's right.
Yeah. Instead of recording at Dia de los Tacos, we're over here with Mike at his restaurant, which is beautiful, by the way, man.
Thank you.
How did this come about?
Oh, gosh. I was looking for a second location at the time. Looking all over Albuquerque. Had some my eyes on an east side location, actually. And then my first location out in Mariposa Rio Rancho, I don't know what you want to call it, the building ownership, let's just say, went awry.
Okay.
For you know, to put it lightly. Right. So I had to find a place to relocate to altogether.
Okay.
I worked with some great realtors, and they found this spot, and they said, well, we don't need to look at the east side anymore since it's one location. So we looked at the west side. This place came up, and it was literally exactly everything I've always imagined in a restaurant. Old, rustic, Italian, New Yorkish, kind of underground, speakeasy-ish almost. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Just that whole vibe. And that's what this place is through and through. You know what I mean? Just from the unfinished concrete floors up to the brick, to the steel, to the hanging patio lights inside. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's exactly what I always imagined. So
that's awesome, man.
Just worked out.
So are you partnered up in this, or this is a sole?
I have a secret partner.
Ooh, and some.
My mother.
Secrets out.
No. My mom backed me because, you know, my ambitious 33-year-old self doesn't have great credit. So let's leave it at that right there. You know, mom's is always there when it comes to that. So, you know, but no, otherwise, yeah, operationally, management, everything else, I'm a sole owner. Yeah.
That's awesome. So with the first one, was that your first venture in the entrepreneurship, or did you?
Second, actually.
Second.
I owned a food truck before that.
Oh, did you?
I did. It was called Manic Munchies.
Okay, I see that. I remember hearing about that.
When, yeah. When it was operating? The Moody Foodie LLC, you know, which is perfect for me. Yes. But yeah, Moody Foodie LLC catering and food truck. It was a food truck operated as Manic Munchies. We did some bars downtown and stuff, and then every day we were out at Ask Academy in Rio Rancho. They didn't have a cafeteria for for the children there. It was bring your lunch only.
Okay.
And my niece went there. So I was like, screw that. You know, I took my food truck up there. I started slinging pizzas. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I had a full size pizza oven in my truck. So we'd make some scratch pizzas and we'd sell them to the kids and, make sure they had options other than walking to McDonald's next door. You know what I mean?
What year was that?
What year is it right now? 2019. So that would have been 2014-15.
Okay. So you must have started up right after I left it.
Yes, actually, because I worked a few events with Raul.
Okay.
That's when I started to come up, actually, publicly, entrepreneurial. I worked a few different concerts and stuff with Street Food Boulevard and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of where the entrepreneurial part of it started for me.
Awesome. So you were right in that tail end of, like, like the social media like burst as far as like the Instagrams and
yeah,
like making videos.
Oh, absolutely. It was actually the great food truck race that made me want to step out. You know what I mean? I was like, shit, all these other people, you know, that, you know, no offense, don't know what they're doing or are being successful in food trucks. How about somebody that knows what they're doing with business? Because my background is business management and restaurant management.
Nice.
It's 15 years of corporate restaurant management. So I figured I could take my love for food and my knowledge in corporate restaurants and just apply it to that. And I was right. I kicked ass on a food truck. What I didn't know is that you have to be a mechanic, an engineer, a plumber, an electrician to also run a food truck.
Absolutely.
And I was none of those things.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we could kick ass all week. And then at the end of the week, if your generator breaks down, you didn't make shit for money, man. Like,
exactly.
You're out. Like, that's it.
That was in the Manic food truck. Sorry, man, there's so much like
Manic here. Munchies. Yes,
man,
sir.
There's so much here that I want to talk to you about. I had no idea that you had. It makes total sense that that you had management experience prior because of just how I see how you operate your business, how like structured it is. That's why I'm like, he's not doing this all by himself, is he?
Yeah.
But if you have the right structure,
I'm doing it with the help of Mike and Mike.
That's right.
You know, but yeah, I was a general manager of a restaurant when I was 16 years old.
Okay.
I graduated high school early.
Yeah.
And I was, I actually opened the Krispy Kremes that were out here with one of my buddies. Nice. So I moved into general manager position by the time I was 17 years old of corporate restaurants. And from there, it was just kind of a slippery slope. You know, a lot of people know when you're in this industry, especially in New Mexico, once it grabs a hold of you, you are sucked into it. Mm-hmm. So the next 15 years I got all the way up to, you know, running multi-unit corporations and stuff like that. And, you know, I won't say any of the names just because, but yeah, there's a lot of different, very local New Mexico, corporations out here where I was responsible for the entire chain, you know? And I did that for so long. I was like, all right, well, clearly really good at this. You know, I was the one that was sent in to fix up the stores to make everything better. And, once I did that long enough, I was like, shit, man, why am I not doing this for myself? Like, if corporations are fighting for me to do it for them, why am I not doing it for me?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Take the leash out.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was the first venture. My mom helped me buy a food truck. And then that we started from there. And the first day, it was the most difficult day of work I've ever had and the most rewarding.
Yeah.
I knew from that point on I would never work for anybody else in my life.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
That's actually the same thing that same point that I think a lot of people will, if they haven't come to it yet, come to that crossroads of understanding their true value and understanding like their work ethic. Like I look at you and like your work ethic is untouched. Like
I don't know
anybody who can keep up with all the things that you got going and how much you keep throwing onto your plate.
Thank you.
And you know, how you're able to balance it all. You know, so I applaud you for all of that, and you were truly an inspiration to me as far as like how hard I should be pushing it.
I appreciate that.
And you know, I hope other chefs are take more notice of that and understand that just like at the top doesn't mean like you get to sit, kick back, and relax.
Absolutely anything, not.
It's more work, you know. And the only thing that will help you get through that is that if you've preconditioned yourself to working at home.
No, you said it perfectly. I'll tell you this. When I won Chef of the Year last year, that to me wasn't a reward.
Yeah.
I mean, it was to a degree, but it was an assignment. You know what I mean? That means for the next year, at least if not thereon after, you've got to show why you earned that. You know what I mean? So if anything, like I didn't take that as, I've been rewarded for my hard work. I took that as I've got to work my ass off now. Mm-hmm. I've got to show why, you know? So exactly. I just took that and kind of use that as my inspiration, influence, and try to make this place better, you know?
That's awesome. Well, let's go back and let's talk about the first day on the food truck, man. What happened?
Then? Oh, I don't know. After the third or fourth anxiety attack, like, I think I sold one slice of pizza the whole day. Like, I went home and cried. Yeah. I was like, well, shit, this was a mistake. You know, I didn't know anything about entrepreneurship, which was a problem. You know, I didn't go to business school. I didn't go to college. And I didn't have an apprentice I wasn't an apprentice to anybody, whether it comes to culinary arts or business.
Right.
So I didn't know what I was doing. I was literally just like, all right, well, shit, I have this truck and I know how to cook.
Right.
I know how to manage a restaurant, but this one's got wheels and it's different territory. And it's completely different. Yeah. Like, please don't think if you know restaurants, you know food trucks. It is a different breed. Yeah. So day one is I hired my buddy to help me out, and we sat out there. I want to say it was in front of a clothing store out downtown. It was a friend of mine's, and then it was just a disaster. Yeah. It was a disaster. I was there for 6 hours, and I sold a slice of pizza. And I just thought, I was like, did I make the biggest mistake ever? You know, because I was making some good money in all these corporate gigs.
Right.
But no, I just, you got to grind. You got to learn and adapt every single day.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you're not going to be successful without failing and failing a lot. You know what I mean? And every little failure, like day one was a complete failure.
Yeah.
But in that, it was a success. We learned a ton from it. We learned how to move forward. And shit, it wasn't like we fixed it in the next day. You know, that stuff takes months.
Yeah.
But you have to have that heart to keep learning from it every single day and keep adapting. And that's what we did, right. You know, until.
Where was the turning point for you? And like where you started to get some positive momentum?
Sure. I did a few events, actually. We did one about 6 months after being open. Actually, it was one-on-one ones we did with Raul at Street Food Boulevard.
Okay.
We did this concert. And it was a car show. The concert was completely terrible, by the way. There was like 14 people watching Chameleon Air. So it was hilarious. But the car show before it was awesome. You know, we had a cool car show.
Right.
And that's the first time anybody came up to me and said, I've heard about you.
Yeah.
I was like, no shit. You've heard about me. What does that mean? Like, you know what I mean? So from there, it was like, all right, well, I'm making an impact on the community, whether it's food or something bigger.
Right.
I'm making an impact.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's when I decided, all right, I'm going to go all in on this versus, you know, because up until that point, you're still on the fence. Like, every time something breaks down, like, should I take this job? You know, you're getting offered these high salary gigs for corporate restaurants and stuff. And
absolutely,
you're not paying yourself when you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So it's a tough line to walk, you know, but the first time somebody comes up, she said, man, I've heard about your food. That was payment for the whole year right there, you know? So that's what makes the decision.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. There's something special about, just having that connection where you get recognized, you know,
yeah,
and people absolutely. Know that, you know, they just start paying attention to you more, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you do it all the time too, you know, just walking around and you know, you got a lot of people that you already care about or whatever. Bringing somebody else on is very hard.
And that's the best part of it now too, is it's people telling people about you now. Right. It's just like, this is amazing. Like it's, you know, your food speaks now. It's absolutely. Your food has its own voice, you know, and people are coming just to taste that bite, you know,
absolutely.
And that's something to me and to every chef, that's something special right there. You know, that's like someone saying, hey, I went out of my way just to hear this one song. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. wow. Thank you. You know?
Yeah, there's so many times I've had people, you know, say they caught wind of me or whatever, they were up in Santa Fe. Or actually, what was very beautiful, you know, we started a little taco stand now inside of Albuquerque and Recording. You know, so it is, like, a lot of people label it as, like, a hidden gem. But, you know, I'm having people from, like, New York.
Right.
Just in town for business.
Isn't that incredible?
And then they just, like, heard from the bellhop or whatever that, hey, you got to go try these tacos if you're in town.
Isn't that incredible?
And they come and see you, and you're like,
yeah.
Now they go out and they, you know, and it's really wild to think about it all, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, like, it's like you said, just my focus is to constantly get better,
mm-hmm.
you know, let everything else lay out and let the cards lay as they may, but my job is just to continue to be better, continue to improve, and not to get comfortable.
Absolutely. Know? Never get comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's never, so never boring. Get comfortable. Never think that you've learned it all. No, never get complacent. No. And you'll keep being inspired by those feelings. If you think you've already made it, if you've already done it, then
absolutely.
You're only hurting yourself. If you acknowledge that there's so much more that you've just, you know, scratched the surface, then every little moment is going to keep inspiring you.
Exactly.
And that makes the difference for me. We had somebody in here from last week from California said, it's the first time trying your food. I've been following you for 3 years online.
Wow.
It's like, how did that start? I heard from a person who heard from a person who told my sister, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I started following you online and I'm finally trying your food. I was like, wow, that made my week right there. That's you know? Awesome. So
that's really cool, man. How many staff members do you have here at High Point?
I say we got about 16, give or take here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're running about 5 people in the kitchen right now. Myself, the executive, I have an executive sous chef, Chef Brock Avera, who's does all the work here, as you know, you can imagine how that kind of stuff goes. And then I've got Ashley, Jeff, and Dimitri who back me up in the kitchen, and that's been my core here.
That's awesome, man. You got a really great team here, man. I can just tell, like, just talking with you and you know, from our first time meeting, you know, just you have just a presence about you, you know, and so it just shows in the way that your team operates, and they you just have a very well trained and productive staff.
Thank you.
I applaud you on that, and that's not easy to have, you know. That means that you've
That's my corporate side.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's something that I want to learn more about, how you develop that and kind of those little tricks of the trade. You know, that's something that that's for another conversation. You know,
absolutely.
We ain't giving those secrets away. So who are some of your inspirations chef-wise? You know?
Sitting with one right here, buddy.
Come on.
If we're talking on a bigger scale, which I think was the real question, Bourdain.
Bourdain, yeah.
Ramsay, just, you know, I'm a crazy person. He speaks to my crazy.
Absolutely.
Slightly lesser known, David Chang's the man.
Yeah.
And even slightly lesser known to that, I follow somebody online that's been a true inspiration to me. His name's Chef Richard Knott. He works, I want to say, out on the West Coast, but I could be completely wrong on that. But
right.
I followed him online for years. And that's somebody that whose food really inspires me as well. So from him all the way up to the man, in my opinion, Bourdain.
Yeah. What was it about Bourdain that you loved?
He just didn't give shit. And he was out for himself. Truly, he didn't. I mean, he might have.
He's not worried about.
He just didn't. Yeah, he's not conforming. He's not doing anything. He was just. He was the Robin Williams of the culinary field for me. You know what I mean? Who's another hero of mine? You know, I mean, with some people that know, with all my mental issues and stuff like that, like those are people that really inspire me.
Right.
To do you no matter what, no matter what else is going on, no matter what somebody's telling you, it's just keep doing your art.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's somebody that I always saw that just. It didn't matter if the camera was rolling or not. He's going to be him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always going to be him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I respect.
Yeah.
You know, be the same person. Be that person. Be your art. Make that your life.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's where you leave it.
No, I completely agree. He's one of my idols. You know, somebody that I've definitely followed and studied and just, yeah. And for somebody like me, like I grew up a very shy kid. It took a while for me to finally like come out of my shell. And really, it was the kitchen. Like, you see how I am at food fights, like just loud, obnoxious.
Oh, yeah.
And from day one.
You? Nah. Oh, nah, bro.
Shut up. Yeah. You know, that's where I have my confidence. That's where it is, you know? And so, the food truck actually helped me to get some of that out too. It all started like coming in front of the sushi bar, you know, and actually being in front of
you're interacting.
I was like, I want to be tucked away and, you know, nobody sees me or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I want, if I'm making this, I want them to know who's making this.
Yeah.
It's just always how, I guess, cooking in my family has been. It's been a very open kitchen, you know, and kind of everything is centered around the kitchen. You know, that's where I started evolving into myself, you know, and feeling the confidence to try things, you know, and then go back or whatever, you know, and have, you know, just not being stuck in a certain way. I'm doing sushi out there in San Diego, but I'm taking whatever regional ingredients I have, you know, and whatever inspiration I have, and building off of that, you know, and getting recognized for it.
People,
people like that. It's refreshing or whatever, you know, and that's the same thing that, like a chef like Morimoto, like what he did is, you know, he gets a lot of backlash from Japanese people for his cuisine and his fusion style or whatever, you know. But
is that being too Americanized or what?
Just that he's not sticking to tradition.
Traditional Japanese,
which, you know, that's why they've just continually refined or whatever. Mm-hmm. So when you break out of that or whatever, you start something new, then it's like you're wasting your time starting something new. We already have it this way. It's already
don't fix what ain't broke or whatever.
Exactly. But that's the journey that he needs to be on.
Yeah.
You know, and to continue to inspire people to just walk their own path. And that, you know, every path doesn't, and when you walk your own path, I guess we, you know, we could say that it's not easy at all.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It's not just a nice paved clean road.
It is the toughest road to go for sure.
Yeah, and you're gonna have to collect tools along the way in order to get over each obstacle.
Absolutely.
You know, but maybe you finally reach that mountaintop or just that beautiful view at the end.
That's the goal, isn't it?
That's it. You know, and just you're able to just take that moment and just breathe. You know, I think that's that is probably the biggest inspiration for me is just that one day. be able to sit back and look back. I know that when I go home, I'm just noticing how you decorate your place, you know, and you got the thing, you got these captured moments of you, you know?
Yeah.
And it reminds me when I see those photos of myself or whatever, or those moments that I have been a part of, that it just makes it real. Like, yeah, you really did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And
then, absolutely. Absolutely.
It wasn't all just a dream. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah. You don't have to hear reassurance every day.
Right.
But when, like,
make your own confidence.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, live for every day and live for those new highlights. How you're going to, what's going to be the best part of today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's beautiful, man. So we have your daughter over here, Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Tell
them to wait.
I mean, she's off mic right now or whatever, but what do you see in her interest, man?
I think Brooke wants to be a baker when she grows up at this point. That's, yeah, awesome, we've been, man, practicing a lot lately. She's making some from scratch stuff. We're waiting to hear back to see if she's going on the kids baking championships on Food Network.
Oh, really?
Right now. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah, we've been practicing a lot. That's definitely, I think, what speaks to her most is all the baked goods and stuff. You know, I think the goal right now is to own a bakery when she grows up. Right?
Okay.
I told her I'm going to make her my pastry chef in 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's awesome, man. Keep it in the family, man. Keep it in the family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In 5 years, you can do it in 5 years. You're going to be my pastry chef in 5 years. That's right. Because she turns 11 in a few days, so she doesn't have to wait that extra year.
That's awesome. And pastries is definitely one of the things that I don't like being a part of. Like, same. I don't know. I just have this thing about getting flour all over the place. I hate it.
Well, I can't get around that with the pasta, but I don't like to measure, so measuring is what gets
me.
Oh,
yeah. Just like a handful of this.
Baking is a science. Cooking's an art.
Yeah,
so
for sure, man. Yeah, that's always.
Can't measure.
Let me see here.
Can't escape the line of people trying to get at me over there.
I know, man. You
got meetings after meetings after meetings.
You're a busy man. I get it, man. So you're born and raised in New Mexico, right?
False. I've been in New Mexico since I was 10 years old.
Okay.
I was born in Virginia Beach.
Oh.
Come on now. They don't make people that look like this. I'm just kidding, guys. No. And by that, I mean blonde hair, blue eyes, 6.5 feet tall.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
No, that's East Coast business right there.
Right.
So, I'm from Virginia Beach. I moved here when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
So I'm from New Mexico. I'm a native New Mexican as far as I'm concerned. If you've been here 30 or 24 years, so.
Right.
You know, I'm from New Mexico now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where the roots are, is in Virginia Beach.
Okay. And what, did you play sports in high school?
Baseball my whole life.
Yeah.
Man. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Since I was year round, since I was 5 years old, I still play baseball to this day.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hardball. I'm not talking about any of softball bullshit. No, I play for an Albuquerque team here. We went out to Vegas and played in the World Series. We took second place in the nation.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, we still play hardball, competitive baseball, going out to Puerto Rico for the International World Series soon. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez, what position?
First base now. I have too many injuries.
I used to
be third baseman and a pitcher. I'm relegated to first base after 6 injuries to my left leg.
Oh my God.
I'm kind of done running and stuff like that.
But that's got to be hard, you know, in our profession, just standing up all day, man, having leg injuries.
Yeah, man. Like, not just that. Like, I have a couple spinal injuries that I'm not supposed to be standing for more than 4 hours at a time.
Yeah.
I was instructed by doctors 6 years ago not to be standing for more than 4 hours at a time consecutively, and I just kind of laughed. I was like, all right, let's start with 12, and we'll go from there. And still to this day, that's not really a realistic option.
Man, that's got to be rough.
It is. It hurts. You know, it hurts a lot.
I see. One thing I noticed right off the bat when we met is that we share a tattoo, and you got a gorilla or King Kong, or is it gorilla or King Kong?
Let's just go with yes. It's just silverback.
Yeah. That's the same tattoo that I have on my arm here. And to me, it signifies.
On this side, right?
Yeah,
it's on that side.
Yeah,
there we go.
Got it on my arm. Got it
right.
On my jacket. Got it on my socks today too.
Nice.
You know, my gorilla brother. But to me, it signifies strength and
that's
just resilience. You know, just never backing down.
Exactly.
And you know, that's you live up to it, man. Just that, yeah. You know, what I see, what you go through, what you told me, you know, about some of your days and kind of the struggles, and then that you still show up, you know, and that you, you know, you live up to your responsibilities.
You know? Thank you.
You know,
and I'm doing my damnedest. That's for sure. I'm trying, man. You know, I'm just I'm trying to inspire others to do more, and to be more, and not to be limited by what other people think you are.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, I think you know, when I look around, I see so much work. Like in the world in general, there's so much work that needs to be done, and then you have a lot of people that just stand around and don't, or just need direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know. The world needs more people that come out of their shell and just start picking stuff up and just understand, like, there's weight here to be lifted. You know, start doing something. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, just start doing something and stop sitting back. You know, you don't have to get paid mm-hmm. for it. Like find that
pride. You better find payment and gratitude.
Yeah.
Is what you better find. I mean, yeah. And you better, and it better mean something, because if it doesn't mean something to you, then that's not the field.
Even the gratitude, I mean? Of just being able to look at yourself
yeah.
in the mirror,
yeah.
you know, and be happy with what you see,
yep.
and be happy knowing that,
yeah.
that you went out today and you did everything that you could.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know gratitude doesn't pay bills, but
yeah, yeah.
you're not doing what you do to pay your bills. I mean, I guess some people are, but if you're in it for the art and you're in it for your passion, then you'll do what it takes. You mm-hmm. know, I spent 3 months of the first year homeless.
Yeah.
At the restaurant, you know yeah. what I mean? Because that's what it took. Mm-hmm. You know, I would rather have been doing my art than been living in a house.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's what mattered to me.
I tell everybody, just make sure you got your bases covered. You know, like the glitz and glamour, like you can get that out of your head.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, as long as you got water, you know, to shower with,
yeah.
To hydrate yourself, and you got a roof over your head, you got food in your stomach, you know, you got your bases covered, you mm-hmm. know, just keep showing up or whatever, and then cover a little bit more. And
yep.
then you're going to realize that life is going to throw you bones
mm-hmm.
here and there. You know? So, you got to just, you know, as they say, count those blessings, man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy. Especially when you see stuff that looks, you know, things that draw attention are things that are shiny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And everybody looks that way. But I guess it comes down to just the attention span.
Yeah. You can't be in it for the notoriety, because that's
yeah.
not what this is. You mm-hmm. know, like less than 1% of people make the big screen or
exactly.
whatever you want to
yeah.
call it, you know,
you gotta break it down,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, yeah, that's not what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be what it's about.
No,
you know,
yeah, it's continuing. Like, may sound cheesy.
get cheesy.
No, but it's love, man. Like,
yeah,
it's
absolutely.
love is light. Light is love. Like, the world needs to be lit.
That's right.
You know, and get lit.
No, they say math is the only universal language. I
yeah.
disagree. I say food.
Yeah,
is the purest universal language,
mm-hmm.
and that's the easiest way to spread love and
yeah.
and communicate to other people.
Absolutely.
That you care.
Yeah, because you've got to take a minute to sit down and, but I think that, you know, the world is going so fast. Just find a way to slow it down. If you could just slow down your eating to where you can focus on this food that is going to nourish you and going to help you throughout the day or whatever, but then to read between the lines and see that story and that soul that was behind that,
mm-hmm.
the creation of that or whatever, you know, that's, there's something more there, you know, that really can fill your heart. You know, I'd say, That's a whole nother.
That's Dom getting deep here.
That's a whole nother conversation. Shit, I'm just thinking about it. I'm blowing my own mind over here. I'm like, is this thing on? Is this thing recorded? Actually, and I did notice, so we're going to have to get some audio from this, Rodney, because I didn't hit record in the beginning, so we missed the whole introduction, but it's okay, because we're going to get it off one of these other microphones, and we got it right here with you live. So we're good. So what are some of your favorite things to eat?
Stuff I'm allergic to. apparently.
He just, Mike just had an allergy test today and found out some pretty drastic news, man. As a chef,
I'm allergic to garlic and onions.
Oh my God.
So that sucks.
Somebody came into the restaurant the other day and said, I'm allergic to onions. I'm like,
no.
I don't think you could have anything on my menu.
No, like,
you want tortilla? You want a tortilla?
No, pasta is the most homey comfort food in the planet for me.
Okay.
That's Italian Southern comfort love right there.
Yeah.
Pasta and Southern food, you know, the chicken fried steak, the gravies, and then, of course, Italian food. Who doesn't love pasta and pizza? Oh, yeah. I mean,
have you ever tried combining pasta and gravy? Gravy pasta?
That sounds cardiac. That sounds painful.
Sign me up.
There's a pasta with some gravy sauce.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's going to work, man. I'll keep my favorites separate for now.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I was noticing one thing, you know, obviously New Mexico, red and green chili.
Green.
You know, green. Okay, green.
Just get that question out of the way now. It's green.
It's green, just so you know. But you can have it on anything. But I went to, I believe it's Wex, and they actually have the addition of like red, green, or gravy, or like if you're like me, you get all three.
Stop.
You just get all
just
three.
Just stop.
But I mean, like, but they serve breakfast in life. So that's, you know.
What's gravy to you, though? Because gravy to me, a Southerner, is chunky white gravy with sausage and stuff like that. Southern chunky country poutine.
I like bacon gravy. I like making my gravy with bacon. So I like, you know, running off the bacon.
But we're still in the same neighborhood. Yeah, so you're going to put that on your enchiladas next time, or what?
Yeah.
God. Look at that face she's making right there.
That sounds amazing to me.
That's a whole new Tres Colores right there.
Cheese, gravy, good.
Oh, no.
Obviously, I'll go for a run or whatever the next day after I wake up from my nap.
Going to defib is what you need
to go. No, man. Okay. So, anything that you brought back from like Virginia, like any type of food or cuisine?
I wasn't too deep into it at that point. I mean, I was only 9 or 10 when we moved out here, so that was still just developing. You know, I was still playing with food at home and stuff.
Okay.
I brought my love for seafood out here because, you know, this is a desert, that's for sure.
Yeah.
There's not love for seafood out here.
Exactly.
So yeah, I love shellfish, seafood, just all across the board seafood. I love it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I definitely bring that with me. And then that's, I guess, part of my Cajun influences comes from there too. We do a lot of Cajun food, and just that's one of the best cuisines that I think there is. There's a lot of flavor development, layers of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Cajun seafood, I would say, but more than anything, definitely bringing the fish and the shellfish out here.
Yeah, I saw you guys did a crawfish boil.
Oh, right? Yeah. Busiest day of the year for us, man. We do a live crawfish boil. We fly in live crawfish from Louisiana. We do blue crab, snow crab, Gulf shrimp. We make 4 different kinds of sausage. We brought gator in. We go wild. It's fun. Jeez, it's fun.
That's
wild.
It's
real fun.
Man. Like, you know, I know what it takes to operate on a nightly basis, you know, and just keep everything in order, especially, you know, when you got a team that is helping you and stuff. Is bringing in some of these like menus or whatever, does that help inspire your staff? Like culinary wise of like,
I would love to think so.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this new stuff that you're getting introduced to, all these, because really to get to, you know, like, we don't know it all. There's still so much more to learn or whatever and know. But unless you break through that barrier of actually, like, getting it in your hands and, like, trying it out.
No, absolutely.
Like, you know?
You know, I'd like to think that, you know, every time we come up with a new dish that's uncommon or whatever, someone's inspired. Or best case for me, I'm a weird person, though. I make something that somebody hears about it, looks at it, and goes, that sounds gross.
Yeah.
And then they try it, they're like, I was wrong. Yeah. Like that's perfect.
Wait,
you know
till
what
you
I mean?
My gravy and enchiladas.
All right, touche. But that's the point right there. That's the point right there. That's what I'm saying. That's the point. Is that, you know, it's be creative, but you know your technical skills too, and you know, make matches where matches are made. You know,
absolutely. I think the 505 food fights, I've always, you know, just admired them and loved, thought it was just an amazing idea.
Yeah.
And tell me the story about that, because I'm not 100% like sure on it. I know that sure. I know that it's been going on for a while.
But... Yeah, yeah. It started several years back. A couple of buddies of mine, David Ruiz, Chef David, and Stacey Wilson started it off.
Okay.
They got it kicked off. You know, it's Chopped style. For anybody that doesn't know, it's you know, time limit, secret ingredients, head to head chefs bracket style. And then so it used to bounce around at different locations throughout the city, different days and stuff like that. You know, as it happens, people's lives carry on, and you know, they're not able to keep going with stuff. So 505 Food Fights died.
Okay.
I was a competitor in the past, right. And I didn't want to see it fall apart because A, it's just fun.
Right.
It's cool to compete. It's cool to watch.
Right.
And it raises money for charity. It's all for charity. So how do we not keep that going? Absolutely. You know? So I asked for both their blessings to keep it going, you know, mm-hmm. out of respect and stuff. And they said, hell yeah, go for it. And now every single Thursday night at 9 o'clock at High Point Grill, we have the food fights.
Right.
You know, we benefit a different charity every single time, two different chefs. And we get weird. I'd like to think I'm getting a little bit weirder than years past because I put some weird ingredients up there. But yeah, I mean, this season alone, we're up on what, week 12 right now. We've raised over $8,000 for That's different great. Charities in New Mexico, local to New Mexico.
That's awesome.
You know, that wouldn't have been raised otherwise.
Absolutely.
And it's not like we're going out of our way to do this elaborate shit. We're just chefs at the end of our shift getting together and screwing around.
Exactly.
You know, we're having some drinks, we're playing around. And then I feel like we're getting a bigger draw because we know where it is, when it is,
absolutely,
and what it's for it's every single consistent. Time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, now we're coming up on the semifinals, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
You get nervous?
Me? No.
No?
I'm in the semifinals.
Tracy says you should be nervous.
Tracy. All right. I'm going
to. Yeah, there we go. Anyways.
I ain't going to say nothing.
It's just, you know, it's kick-ass, man. It's just head-to-head chefs. It's having fun. It's raising money. And I don't, we got to keep this going. I'm going to start soon. Here we go. Let's talk about it exclusive. You ready for this? Season 2, 505 Food Fights.
Yep.
That's going to start in late July.
Okay.
I'm going to be taking applications for teams tournaments.
Ooh.
We're doing two chefs against two chefs this time next season. So we're going to be pairs. It can be you and a sous chef. It can be you and another superstar chef. It don't matter. It's 2-on-2.
You and your grandma.
It can be you and your grandma.
Yeah.
But it's 2-on-2. It's 2-on-2 for the next bracket.
I like that.
So
I like that
there you
lot.
Go.
I like that a lot.
I
like that because me and Ernesto, who I featured 2 weeks ago on a podcast, he actually reached out to me and he was like, or he actually said on the show, it'd be awesome if they did like
live for real
or whatever. Yeah. He's
you know, perfect.
There are so many, like, you know, we got the chef who's obviously in the spotlight
sure.
or whatever. So a lot of attention is going there, but a good chef is always like has a great like line behind.
So
them.
That's one of the things that intrigued me most about this next season is that is an executive chef going to bring their line cook who they should be fluid with, or their sous chef who they should have just that unspoken language with and just be fluid? Or are they going to try to bring another chef, executive chef in and be like, all right, we'll just take over everybody since we're two executives.
Yeah.
But that can also cause creation ideas, butting heads, because it's three dishes, not two dishes.
Yeah.
Because we're having two chefs in the kitchen. You got to make three dishes in the same amount of time.
I like that. So
okay.
Much,
so three secret ingredients, three dishes, same amount of time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the winner will battle me.
Exactly.
Champion of season one.
Exactly.
Just kidding. I ain't won yet, but.
Yet. He still says yet, though. Confidence.
Well, that's the plan. That's the plan.
I love the confidence,
gotta
man.
Gotta be in it to win it.
If you don't think you're going to win it, why are you winning it?
Hey, man. Like,
right.
Like Ricky Bobby said, you ain't first.
You're last.
Last, son. Giddy up. That sounds amazing, man. I love it. I love, you know, I love getting in there and riffing and being in an environment of chefs that, you know, we're cheering each other on. We're talking shit like we normally
Absolutely.
Do in the kitchen and stuff. And then, you got, you know, you bring the ladies around, you know. Hey, just
ladies.
Bring the ladies around. No, I'm excited to see how this continues to evolve. I know I've spoken to, my team over here, Rodney and Valerie, who have been helping me out, you know, posting these videos on YouTube and getting some exposure for Let's Taco About It, about how cool it would be to start having like build-ups mm-hmm. to the fight, you know, give you storylines, yeah. you know, yeah. stuff like that. So I think that this is something that is going great and it's building up a lot of steam, and thanks to you, and doing it all for a great cause, you know, which is just like how we run the restaurant. You don't just sit back and collect
right.
money in the restaurant. You constantly recycle that money, mm-hmm. putting it back into the restaurant, that's constantly right. reinvesting or whatever. So that's why, like, there's never like anything that you're chasing. It's like constantly right. like, you know, just
feeds
it
on itself.
It keeps us going. It's the yep. hamster wheel.
That's right.
You know, what would you say was some of the worst or some of the most, I've said that they're like sadistic. Like you're just sick.
You're talking about my ingredients yeah, already? Yeah, come on
your,
now.
Your ingredients.
I haven't gotten too screwed up. Last week, I'll give you that. The chicken parts was messed up. I gave one of the three ingredients last week
right.
was an assortment of chicken feet, hearts, livers, and gizzards. That now, wasn't the easiest one, especially because the second ingredient was those Gansito snack cakes. It was those little Mexican Twinkies with the raspberry jelly. That was tough.
Yeah.
That was probably the toughest week, I'll say. The rest of the weeks just had one thing that was kind of messed up, you know, like the donuts or the birthday cake.
Right.
What did you end up with? You've had two battles now, right?
The first battle was...
It wasn't too hard. I think I started you off easy.
Yeah, the first battle was bison short rib.
That's right.
Grapes and popcorn.
Yeah, unpopped popcorn. That wasn't too hard.
Unpopped popcorn, you know, and, you know, threw something together. Except both me and Sarah, we both forgot, like, ingredients on some dishes or whatever.
Her on the first dish, you on the second dish. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, dang it. You know, but the second time, it was, you actually, that's when you introduced
I gave you four. I gave you kombucha as the fourth ingredient.
Which, I love kombucha. And that was actually, like, the perfect, in my mind, that was the one thing that that's tied right. it all together.
You said I gave you the perfect basket for you the second time.
Yeah, because you actually, like, you know.
I gave you the butterfish,
I
too,
always carry
I?
Around a small bottle of fish sauce. Fish sauce is my extra, extra secret ingredient. On top of love. Anyways, I take that. And you had kombucha in there. And it just tied in perfectly. And then I started seeing the green banana. Like, when I go into these battles, I don't have obviously you can't go in there with a plan.
That's a mistake. You know,
some people are like, all right,
I'm making this. Yeah, no, that's a mistake.
Yeah. Like, he's got to give me a protein or whatever. Then as soon as there's no protein or whatever, then it all goes out the window. But I think the way I want to tie this in is because you were talking about skill set of way to, you know, way to cook different ingredients mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And that's what it comes down to as a chef is really just honing those skill sets of how to roast, how to saute, how to do all these things, you know, how to extract flavor from mm-hmm. certain ingredients. And then it's about tasting, you know, so you're having your salty, your sour, your sweet, your spicy, your bitter, you know, and then how to tie that into a melody,
mm-hmm.
you know? So picking out those different ingredients. So that's what I do every time I enter one of these fights is I just look at the ingredients and I slowly start to do my basic prep, deboning fish or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and start to piece it all together. You know?
That's right.
And it all just starts with one sizzle, getting it going or whatever, and then let the brain just flow from
that's
there,
right.
you know? But I want to tell you chefs who go to these 505 food fights, just stay calm. Just
And get your first dish out in 45 minutes. Jesus Christ. get your first dish out in 45 minutes.
Yeah, come on. Man. Stop trying to put so much on the plate. No, I'm just playing. I'm only saying that because I'm in the semifinals.
Yeah.
No, I'm very excited about that. Another chef that, you know, I just got back in January and I was running Dia de los Tacos. I was already planning to come watch that night. It was the first battle is of the shop. Very great chef, you know, making some amazing food over there.
That was a nice little last minute surprise for you, wasn't it?
And then he had to pull out due to plumbing issues. And then I remember you called me or sent me a message. And I was like,
you want to battle in like 3 hours?
Yeah. like, absolutely. Because that was actually a slow night at the restaurant. And I was like, I was training the staff. And so I was like, I hadn't done any cooking all day. So I was like, absolutely, please.
Hell
let me get in the kitchen. And
perfect.
And just had a blast, man, from day one. I just realized that that was something that I really loved doing and hope to do more, you know. So I think that it's something that we should have a part of any other type of event to draw attention for a good cause, you know, and like you can always sign me up for that.
Excellent.
I'd love that. I know we did one for the fire,
the fiery food show. Yeah, that was awesome. Show.
That was a lot of fun too, man. Yeah. But
you won that one, right? Oh, look at that. I don't remember.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. I won a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
No. But yeah, man, this has been really cool. I think I want to get into the lightning round with you. You know, ask you a couple questions and you just kind of answer
them.
Do
what you do.
You know?
Yeah. I got answers.
What's your favorite piece of cooking equipment, man?
Favorite piece of equipment?
Yeah.
Like, does my knife count? Or are we talking about equipment?
I mean,
equipment?
Yeah.
I'm a basic person. My knife and my pan is like, you know, okay. Let's just cook it.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's cook it.
Okay.
I mean, I have the sous vides and all that stuff that's fun, but yeah, favorite? Nah.
Yeah. I like that.
Let's grill it. Let's cook it. That kind of stuff. Basics.
Heard that. What about what would you like to have for your last meal? Onions and garlic.
Onions and garlic.
Big old plate of onions.
Yeah, I would say spaghetti and meatballs probably. Oh. Sorry, probably spaghetti with meatballs and sausage, peppers and onions.
Now prepared by who?
By me. Oh. Like, what kind of question is that? Like. I mean, they got to let me out of the cell to prep it and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Outside of that, oh, shit, I don't know. Something I've never had before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it's my last meal, I don't want to have ever tasted it before. Let's try something new.
Okay.
You know?
I like that, man.
Ain't nothing on that side of the sheet.
What would you say is your artistic style and message in your plating? Your plating
chaos.
Chaos.
No joke. Chaos. Like, as I even told you before, I said nothing exemplifies my style more than having a plan and then it going to shit at the last second and then having to make something up on the spot.
Right.
That's it.
So it's making just interpretive cooking.
Yeah. It's what do they call the comedy? Improv, there we go. Yeah. That's what I was looking for. Yeah, improv cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is. This, you got to cook now. Go. Uh-huh. All right.
I've seen like your plates. You use a lot of vibrant colors, man. Like I can tell, and I mean, obviously from your tattoos or whatever. Something that I share with you too is just your love for color and.
I mean, it's a cliche, but you eat with your eyes first.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. How do you not? Mm-hmm. How do you not? I mean, no one wants to look at a beautifully executed plate and it all be gray tones or all browns or all oranges or all like it's. First of all, why? Like, I'm just looking at it like, all right, well, what's going on there? You know, Bob Ross doesn't throw all greens on the painting, does he? You know,
yeah.
We know what we're doing, you know. But yeah, the colors. And then again, like I said, I've been following this guy, Chef Richard Knott, online for years. And that's just a real inspiration to my plating style. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you gotta make it. You gotta make somebody want to eat it.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're gonna see it before they taste it. So
yeah, I dig that.
Yeah.
What would you say your worst kitchen nightmare is?
Jesus Christ.
Did I go?
The one that comes to mind is a fast food restaurant.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go ahead and throw this one out there. I was managing a local burger chain around here.
Uh-huh.
I was a multi-unit director. I had like 30 or 20 locations or something like that. I was helping a guy out at the slowest location in the state. And for some reason or another, there was only me and him.
It was just
him and me. Like, there was no other staff. And I don't know if Albuquerque as a whole plans to come there. but between like the phones ringing, the drive through, the grill, the front counter, everything, there was me and one hourly fast food employee.
Right.
And I just looked around and was like, I want to cry right now so bad. An employee looked at me. He goes, if this was anybody else, I would have walked out and quit.
Yeah.
He said, but because it's you, I'm going to stay and live through this with you. Like, I was like, thanks, man. Thanks.
Oh, man.
But it was just such a disaster. It was, I mean, I stopped charging people. I was just like, here, just take your burgers, just take your fries, just take your food, just go away, stop calling.
Like, just cook your own food. That would be in the back crying.
It was so bad to where the people weren't mad. Yeah. They were coming up and giving tips like, here's $20, man. That looks miserable. Yeah. Like, that is like someone's worst nightmare. They were watching from the dining room, just like,
I don't
want to be any part. Like, they felt bad for ordering. You know what I mean? So that was the worst shift I've ever worked anywhere in my life. I can deal with almost anything else. Like, if the kitchen goes up in flames, I'll deal with it. But that, for some reason, will always stick out in my mind as just being the worst shift I've ever worked anywhere.
That's one of those nights where it just...
I was just like, how do I... And the phone starts... You think you caught up, and then the phone starts ringing, and the fryer starts beeping. You're just like, man.
I think that's something to say about the mind of a chef or whatever, is that, like... so many people to please or whatever, and you want to please them all. But like, at the end of the day, you're only one person. You find, and without having a night like that, do you get to see like your full, like how much you can actually handle? Like,
I think so.
And capable of, you know what I'm saying? And then it comes down to a real level. Like, so at the restaurant, obviously we have a very small restaurant, and but we had a huge following, like when we had the food truck. Since the food truck days, like that was a very simplified menu. So then over here we expanded, and, you know, so a lot of those things take time to make all these, you know, have 12 different tacos on the menu. You got customers who order every single taco, you know, and each taco takes its own, attention to it. what I put it down to is that people will wait for good food. You know what I'm saying? Like when I had the food truck, people waited in line for like an hour before they even ordered, and then waited on top of that. But they knew in confidence that they were going to get something good. So I had to learn how to slow it all down, because I've had those nights where it just like, oh my God.
Oh no.
Like it's just overwhelming, you know? But if you let it overcome you, then you're just putting out shitty food, and then nobody wins because they're waiting a long time, but then they're getting shitty food.
You got to be at bare minimum at the very end of the day. They got to be able to say at least the food was good when we got it.
Absolutely.
You know,
and that's, and, you know, I thank God that, that, you know, I've had that patience and put out good food and still gotten that positive feedback and those followers have still come back and, you know, can enjoy us in a different experience other than, like, we're not always just that chaotic. It just, the perfect storm hit that night, you know, or whatever.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's what it comes down to is.
And that's something that I, hopefully along with other chefs, are trying to change in Albuquerque, specifically, not just New Mexico. Because in the last 3.5 years out in Rio Rancho, we had the same problem is I will say people thought we had the same problem as food timing is. Consumers got to understand that when you're making fresh food and you're making from scratch food, it doesn't come out of a microwave in 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, we're building flavors. We're cooking raw meats. You know, it's not out of the boiler, out of the microwave. So, you know, stuff takes time, you know.
Absolutely.
And then when you got people ordering in front of you, it's going to take more time, you know. But it's real food when it comes out. It matters. And hopefully people can taste the difference.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I like to... put it to, like, you never rushed your grandmother, did you? Like, you never told grandma, come on, hurry up. Like,
finish that sauce up,
eh? Yeah, let's go. Like, that's the same love that we're putting into the food or whatever.
Absolutely.
So just appreciate it. Try to create a relaxing environment for people. But, yeah, it's one of those things that need to be understood, too. Like, some of this stuff takes time. And that's also the beauty of it, is just, like, we're, like, when you just sit in traffic or whatever, there's no reason why you have to be sitting for this long or whatever, whatever, and gets very frustrating. It can be frustrating if you let it, but if you decide to take the positive outlook on it or whatever, and just realize this is life trying to slow you down just for this one moment, because, you know, just for whatever else it has lined up for you, it's going to time up perfectly. So just let life take the steering wheel right now, whatever. You're meant to slow down for this reason. If you can look at it that way, hopefully it'll help you realize that that when you get that burger,
it's good.
It's gonna be like the touch of God, just touching your lips. Anyways, moving on.
Please.
All right, man. Favorite musician or band?
Oh God, I wasn't ready for that one.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of stuff. How about, can I just say not country music?
Okay.
I'm weird, I guess. I listen to a lot of EDM, especially in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my jam right there, is EDM.
What is that?
electronic dance. Come on now, like dance, electronica, house music. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Come on now. The beats. Come on now.
I'm going to do that every time I see you.
You go, hey, what? Come on, lots of boots and cats. Exactly. Exactly.
Cool, man. Oh, man, it's been such a great time talking with you, brother. You're full of life. You're full of love, man. I'm glad to be, fighting the same fight that you are, you know. I hope you know that, like, whatever you need, any kind of help, anything that I can do for you, man, that I'm here for you. And we got a lot more chefs out there that are willing to do the same, man. You got a lot. You're very well respected out here. And
thank you.
You're definitely a positive figure for us all to have, man. And I appreciate you sitting down with me.
Thanks, man.
Talking with me. Yes, sir. So we're gonna get into the kitchen, make a taco. I'm starving. I
have unplanned taco.
Yeah, improvised taco.
That's right.
And man, I'm excited because I haven't eaten all day. So
I'm trying to keep you waiting too long.
Yeah, I'm gonna go pick the ingredients for you.
Please do. Go for it. Go for it. Because I made no plans for this taco.
Yeah.
Or no plans that held up anyways.
That's awesome. All right. Signing off, guys. Thank you all for tuning in. If you're listening on the podcast, I don't know how we're going to piece this together, but I forgot to hit record in the beginning, so we caught in a little bit late. Yeah. No, it happens. Whatever. We're going to improvise, though.
That's what we do.
Anyways, but we'll figure it out. We'll get it uploaded. If not tonight, hopefully in the next couple days. But thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see y'all in the kitchen. Peace. That's
awesome. Yeah. Hi, kiddo. What'd you think of the interview? I mean, aside from the interviewer. Are they doing this stuff on the patio? They are. Cool. I was hoping they would go ahead and knock that stuff out. Yeah.
So it might be like an hour and a half before you get done.
That's all right. The only two people they had to talk to were out there with them. It's an Aflac insurance thing. It's on the table still. I'm a dime, baby. Are you really going to do that for me? I'm down. I'll make a taco out of whatever you find. That's how I get down right there. I actually did have a backup and a backup in mind, but I like this better. Because that's how my mind works, I'm telling you.
That seems to be how you work best.
I'm the epitome of, oops, what do we do now? Thanks for not stealing my dime. Do I'm keeping this mic on? Am I keeping the mic on? I made this pasta just because I was bored. I wanted to see if I could lace the chili together. That's squid ink and red chili pasta.
pasta laced together. And then the strand is just one long red chili pasta strand.